स्वाद बड़ा तूफानी साडे स्वीट महल दा लभना नी कोई इंसानी।
वधेरे जानकारी दे लई तुसी संपर्क कर सकदे हो सुखा कंग जी नूं 416-679-9991 ते 416-679-9191।
Assalamu alaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
Another edition of Muslim Perspectives. Today's selection, we are taken from the Quran, Surah Al-Imran, the third chapter of the Quran, verses 196 to 200. Let's listen in.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد متاع قليل ثم مأواهم جهنم وبئس المهاد لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها نزلا من عند الله وما عند الله خير للأبرار وإن من أهل الكتاب لمن يؤمن بالله وما أنزل إليكم وما أنزل إليهم خاشعين لله لا يشترون بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا أولئك لهم أجرهم عند ربهم إن الله سريع الحساب يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون.
So from the Quran, chapter 3, verses 196 to 200, and the English translation of it is, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. Do not be deceived by the prosperity of the disbelievers throughout the land. It is only a brief enjoyment. Then hell will be their home. What an evil place to rest. But those who are mindful of their Lord will be in gardens under which rivers flow, to stay there forever, as an accommodation from God, and what is with God is best for the virtuous. Indeed, there are some among the people of the book who truly believe in God, and what has been revealed to you, believers, and what was revealed to them. They humble themselves before God, never trading God's revelations for a fleeting gain. Their reward is with their Lord. Surely God is swift in reckoning. O believers, patiently endure, persevere, stand on guard, and be mindful of God, so you may be successful. On the line, we have Ustad Faisal Bakhsh. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For a brief reminder, Ustad Faisal has a lifelong history of teaching and coaching Muslims in the theology and practice of Islam. Ustad is also a licensed family counselor, assisting in resolving spousal issues and helping parents navigate raising children in this society. Ustad, give us some explanation or further expansion of these verses, inshallah.
Inshallah, certainly. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The beginning of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. So prior to these verses that were read today and translated, it precedes, what precedes it actually is, are a number of supplications. And so there's an appearance that these supplications are then the good news of their acceptance, and the rewards of these supplications are indicated. And why I mention that, because then it gives some context into the verses from 196 to 200 of Surah Ali Imran, the third chapter of the Quran. Just as a general note, we have this narrative that God Almighty takes us through in the Quran, a narrative of contrasting those who believe and those who choose otherwise, those who choose not to believe. Whether it is to do with the lives they live, whether it's to do with their perspectives on challenges and hardships and difficulties and calamities, whether it's to do with outcomes. And so we have this narrative consistently, and it's one of the means of conveying to us who read the Quran for divine guidance. It's a way of conveying to us that the choice of belief and to be included amongst those who believe with the right perspective, with the right practice, from the divine revelation and the prophetic practice, that it's not a light matter, so to speak, and as such, it dictates ultimately the outcome. And so we take it verses by verses. So the first point to look at, and I would like to highlight, is found in verses 196 and 197. And so sometimes the believers, when they witness the apparent affluence, the worldwide, as you mentioned, the verse, the maneuvering in the land, and this is really pertinent to what we're seeing today, with you know, people who choose to oppress and be tyrants over others, almost like the story of Pharaoh and Moses in the Quran, where Pharaoh chose to not only disbelieve in Musa's, Prophet Moses' message, but also to claim godhood for himself. And so this arrogance and this perpetuation of tyranny and oppression, and alongside that with affluence, with things that worldly accomplishments, God Almighty is instructing the believers, don't be deceived by this, because this is all temporary. This is all transition, a transitory period, because the eternal life is to come. So, you know, because at the end of the day we're humans and we succumb to certain perspectives, we succumb to certain views, especially with being surrounded by the hysteria that the mass media and social media is promoting. And so the first point of caution here is that in verses 196 and 197 is we have this instruction. And it's very emphatic. So God Almighty says, not to worry about this, not to become consumed by this, not to become overly amazed as to what is taking place, because at the end of the day, for their choices of belief, disbelief, and their choice of their tyranny and their oppression and their arrogance and their subjugation of people, God Almighty is saying, that all this is temporary and a punishment is going to come ultimately in the next life. And sometimes it happens in this life. Then verses 192 and 199, it reasserts the promise of, so remember that there are some supplications that were preceding these verses. Now God Almighty is reasserting and reemphasizing that the promise of for those who believe, for those who maintain their belief with humility, following the commands of their Lord, with sincere belief, with correct action, will ultimately have great rewards. And these rewards are everlasting. So it's an everlasting blessing of being in paradise. And God Almighty wants us to have this view that this life is transitioning to a more permanent, everlasting life. And so what defines us in this life is what we believe in and what we submit to. And we do not relinquish divine guidance for anything. I know it uses the word sell the divine guidance for a cheap price. So what it indicates is that we do not relinquish this honored perspective that God Almighty is teaching us and guiding us. And it does not mean that it would not be without its struggles and challenges, because all this comes about with the reality of the life that God Almighty has prescribed for human beings. And there is ultimate wisdom in why we encounter these struggles and these challenges. And then comes the next verse, the last verse of the third chapter of the Quran, Surah Ali Imran. We have the first, God Almighty gives us four requirements here. And these four requirements are to do with how God Almighty ended the previous verse. And that is not relinquishing divine guidance and divine honoring when confronted with difficulties and challenges and tyranny and oppression and all these things. So God Almighty says in verse 200, the first requirement is in Arabic, sabr. And the closest translation of sabr is patience. And so the interpreters of the Quran mentioned that there are three. These are the scholarly interpreters of the Quran, the commentators, as we call them, the mufassirin. They say it's patience with performing duties and obligations. So where the believers obediently pursue, even if it's burdensome, carrying out the injunctions set by God and his messenger, peace be upon him, that is done with patience. And there's challenges in that regard as well. And so one needs to be patient. The second is patience against sins and transgression, which is holding and checking the self, the lower self, from that which God and his messenger commanded to avoid. And that takes also a degree of patience, a degree of steadfastness, a degree of control. The third is patience in distress and calamity and worry and anxieties and hardships, etc. One of the things that helps one to manage this is the realization and the full conviction that these are from God Almighty. And when we realize that, when we come to that understanding and that perspective and that realization, it brings about a certain inner strength that one then strives to maintain one's faith in a steadfast way. And understanding that this is from God and there's an immense wisdom in all these forms of trials and tribulations. The second requirement God Almighty mentions for the believers to have is what is in Arabic called Musabara, which is, it's a derivation of sabr, but what it refers to is actually consistency and firmness in pursuing all three of the forms of patience that I alluded to earlier, right? So it's that consistency, being firm. If we fall sometimes short, we get up and we rise again. And it also includes standing firm against any form of tyranny, oppression, and injustice. And so, you know, we can see that the worldly measurements of people, the worldly measurements of human beings are a lot different than what God Almighty's revelation is teaching us. The third requirement is what in Arabic, in the verse is called murabata, which is has multiple meanings, but it is inclusive to indicate it's guarding and securing one's place of residence, whether it's country or one's land or one's property or one's investment, all done for the purpose of pleasing God Almighty, in the way of God. And also, it has another meaning, which is guarding the collective observance of the pillars of the religion, with an intent to maintain the unity of hearts and practices. So we have this is the third requirement. And the fourth, but not last, but the one that supersedes and sort of oversees, I should say, all the others, is the idea of reverence for God Almighty, observance of what is called in Arabic taqwa. So to have reverence of God Almighty in one's life by striving towards obedience and avoiding disobedience. So this is the very purpose and essence of life as believers. And when we look at all four combined with what was previously also highlighted in the verses, we can see a number of things. One, what qualities God Almighty is indicating to us that we need to pursue, to acquire, to have. Secondly, that these pursuit of these qualities will not prevent us from being tried, trials, tribulations, difficulties, hardships, calamities, sickness, etc. And essentially, as a result of our faith, as a result of this, the patience that we would need to manage all these. And then thirdly, the eventual outcome, not in this life, but in the hereafter, in the next life, the eternal life, is what is the motivating and incentivization of choosing belief over disbelief. And so we have this paradigm that is being drawn out for us in these verses, a paradigm of life, a paradigm of how to understand things. And given our circumstances, given what we're witnessing today, it's very, very pertinent and relevant to sharing these perspectives. And I know I'm not getting into a lot of details because of the time constraint, but just to give a general overview of how these verses apply to our contemporary situation. Waqar da'wan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.
Jazakallah khair, Ustaz. May Allah bless you and keep you and protect you and preserve you and your family.
Ameen, thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
La ilaha illallah,
no God but Allah.
Muhammad Rasulallah,
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah,
I bear witness that
there is no God but Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulallah.
He sings the Shahada, there is no God deserving to be worshipped except the one God of all humankind, of all creation. and Muhammad is his messenger. The verses that we selected today was taken from chapter 3 of the Quran, verses 196 to 200. And it's essentially has the following themes. One, do not be deceived by outward appearances. Two, recognize the temporary nature of worldly power. Three, anchor yourself in the promise of the hereafter. Four, acknowledge sincerity wherever it exists. And five, commit to patience, resilience, and God consciousness. Let's listen to a bit of a conversation between Sheikh Hamza Yusuf and Ustad Nazim Baksh as he speaks about patience, adversity, and the role of the victim.
What I was thinking of doing was writing a piece called Love Those Who Revile You, why that message is relevant. That is usually not associated with Islam, that message of love those who revile you.
Mm-hmm.
That Muslims tend to see their religion more in terms of justice, and that when people do wrong, that you redress the wrong.
You know, people think that you don't have to listen to the unbelievers,
right.
And that's not from the prophetic tradition.
Right.
Talked about victimization.
Right.
And why we shouldn't put ourselves in this sort of sense of painting ourselves as victims of anything at this point in time.
Well, victimization, I mean, primarily because it's a mentality, and it's a defeatist mentality. It's the mentality of the powerless, to constantly present oneself as a victim. The word itself, you know, it's interesting because the word itself, pretty sure it's from victus, which is the Latin word, you know, to conquer or to overcome. So it's the idea of the one who's conquered or overcome.
So it comes from which word?
Well, victima, it's a Latin word, but I mean the root word is related to the one conquered or the one overcome. You know, but if you look at it, you know, one who suffers injury, loss, or death because of a voluntary undertaking. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Victims of their own conniving.
Wow. How did this sort of idea, I mean, how is this?
Well, I mean, Muslims traditionally never had a victimization mentality. First of all, because from a metaphysical perspective, even though there are people that are wronged in the world, from a metaphysical perspective, which is always the first and primary perspective of Muslims, there are no victims. In other words, that all suffering has some value. Redemptive value. There's no real true victims in metaphysics, but it's based on this idea of patience, which is a virtue. See, this is another aspect, because once you remove patience as one of the primary, in fact, in essence, patience is the first after tawbah, which is repentance. Patience traditionally was considered the first virtue or maqam that you move into.
Hmm.
This idea of patience. That patience in Islam, they're patience in the midst of adversity. So you're patient in what has harmed or afflicted you. You're patient in that midst, which means that you don't lose your comportment. You don't lose your composure. And that's one of the hallmarks, if you look, of the Prophet ﷺ, is that never, ever in the prophetic seerah, do you find him lose his composure?
Mm.
I mean, it's a real hallmark of his character.
Mm.
That he was the unperturbed one, which is one of the meanings of Halim.
Wow.
وَكَانَ أَحْلَمَ النَّاسِ. He was the most unperturbed of humanity.
Hmm.
Nothing could perturb him. And so...
Both inwardly and outwardly.
Inwardly and outwardly. Because he was with God. That was his state. You know, he really was with God.
Hmm.
And that's why, if you look traditionally, what patience in essence is that people, they truly submit to God.
That's a conversation between Ustad Nazim Baksh and Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. Let's continue to listen.
So if you look at the quality of patience goes under fortitude, because patience is the virtue that enables a person to bear the evils that he's confronted with or faced with or afflicted with this equanimity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that Muslims were, I mean, it's something that they were known for to such an incredible degree, right? And it's something that unfortunately we're becoming known for the opposite now.
Right.
So the thing is, I mean, a pagan human being is somebody who endures these evils, right? Doesn't cause them to be distraught or cast down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't cause them to lose their comportment.
Mm.
I think that that message in and of itself, isbiru wa sabiru.
Mm.
I mean, that's in the Quran, Allah says, isbiru wa sabiru. Be patient and enjoin each other to patience.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the beauty of patience, you know, inna Allah ma'as-sabirin, Allah is with the patient. Asta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Take your fortitude, you know, asta'inu, Arabic is just so deep because isti'ana is a reflexive of ana, which is to help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in essence, help yourself. Asta'inu means help yourself with patience and prayer.
Wow.
You know, أَسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. I mean, it's amazing because the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِينْ بِاللَّهِ. If you take help from God alone. But in the Quran, Allah is saying, أَسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Take help from prayer and from patience and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a means by which God has given you to take help from God alone. In other words, if you use medicine, it's not that you're not depending on God, if you see that the medicine is a means that God has given you. So if you're helping yourself with patience and prayer, your dependence is still on God because you're depending on the means that God has given you. And those are the means that God has given people to deal with adversity. You know, الَّذِينِ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَّهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who, when a calamity befalls them, they immediately respond by saying, to God we belong and to Him we return. You can't be a victim in that situation. Because what you're ultimately recognizing is the metaphysical reality of calamity, that it's from God as a test. Which does not mean there aren't wrongs and there aren't victims. I'm talking about the psychology of the person. So if I'm an observer, you see, it's really interesting, the Sharia. Because the Sharia has two perspectives. One perspective is how the authority looks at wrongs. And when the authority looks at wrongs, it demands justice. But whenever the individual is confronted with a wrong, they're encouraged actually to forgive.
Hmm.
In other words, forgiveness is not a quality of authority. Do you see?
Yeah.
A court is not set up to forgive. It's the plaintiff that's being asked to forgive, not the court.
Yeah.
The court is set up to give justice. But what Islam is saying is, don't go to the court.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, the Christ is reported to have said, by the standard by which you judge, so too shall you be judged. I mean, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
If you want justice, if you want God to give justice to others, then you better know one thing. He's going to use the same standard with you. And that's, you see, that's what people don't want. Nobody at Arafah is saying, oh God, be just with me. No Muslim is making that prayer.
Right.
They're saying, forgive me. Yeah. Have mercy on me.
Right.
Have compassion with me. Overlook my wrongs. And yet they're not willing to do that to their fellow man, who are creatures of God. I mean, we don't love wrongdoers because they're wrongdoers.
Right.
What you love for them is guidance because they're creatures of God.
Hmm.
That they've been put here by the same God that put you here. And that God says in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. We made some of you a tribulation for others. Will you show patience? So in other words, God set up the scenario and then asked a question. Will you show patience? In other words, will you subdue this inordinate desire for vengeance?
Right.
For this higher thing, because you're seeing the metaphysical component and realizing that this is a test for me, and I'm being promised forgiveness if I forgive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So patience is a virtue that is almost absent in the modern world. What's wrong with this thing? You know, they should upgrade this system. So you just wait it. People just wait it. It's called Stoicism. The Riwaqiyun, the Arabs called them. Stoics. People that just are patient because they realize it's just more intelligent to be patient. You're just expending all that negative energy, creating all these free radicals, increasing your age, you know, aging process. doing all these things that are harmful for you. The Quran says it. You just have to read the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet many times, وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Be patient about what they say to you. وَاسْبِرْ كَمَا صَبْرَ أُولِي الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسَلِ. Be patient like the Ulil Azmi from the prophets before you were patient. And the Prophet himself, he was the most patient of people. But he's being commanded to patience. Just to be patient. To be patient about other people. To give people the time of day. To actually just do some ithab. To prefer other people when they're in line. Or trying to find a parking place. Really. This is something that the Muslims have to inculcate in themselves. And according to the Quran, Allah will not elevate a people unless they show these qualities. It's one of the conditions for tamkeen, for establishment. One of the salaf asked Hassan al-Basri, what is better, tamkeen or sabr al-bala? What is better, to be established in the earth or to be patient with tribulation? He said, the second one has to precede the first. In other words, you won't get the first one if you don't have the second one. And that's why if you look at the first 13 years of the Prophet's life, it's all just being patient, not doing anything. Dealing with the situation by showing kindness. Being patient with these people. Sabrun jameel. Wallah musta'an. The beautiful patience is one where there's no complaint. And some of the ulama say that that verse indicates that if you complain but are still patient, it doesn't negate your patience. So patience is one of the great virtues. Some of them place it under the category of courage in the moral virtues. What the Arabs call ummahat al-fada'il. The matrixes of the virtues, where all the virtues emanate from, the moral virtues. The patience is a type of courage because it's courageous to show patience. It's an act of will. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, al-sabru inda sadmat al-ula. Patience is when the calamity first happens. It's not later when you have time to think about it. It's when it first happens, and the opposite of it is faza. Is where you lose control. You completely lose it, like they say in this culture. You lose it. And one of the gifts of those who show patience in this world is that they are freed from al-faza al-akbar in the next world. When everybody else is in a total state of anxiety and dread before the ominous reality of Judgment Day, these people are in a state of sakina. They're not troubled by it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them that. So this is one of the gifts. There are many other gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. Allah says, اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. Have patience. And have musabara. The ulama differ about what that means. Some of them say that musabara is where it's patience towards an enemy outside of yourself. For instance, shaitan or a martial enemy, somebody trying to conquer your lands. That you have to show patience because victory doesn't come immediately. It takes time. The Prophet said, Al-harbu baynana wa baynahum sijal. War between me and my opponents is one of attrition. One day for them, another day for me. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is what this promise. Even if there's no victory for the people of righteousness in this world, they're promised victory in the next world. Somebody might live their life and never see that. But in the Akhirah, they're promised that. So anybody that attempts to go out into the world to make the world a better place, not for themselves, because you can just go into uzla, you can go into retreat, but actually for other people, for your children, for your society, you're going to come up against people that don't want that because there are people that benefit from those things that are harmful out there. There's people that benefit from selling arms. The Prophet ﷺ said, بَائِعُ السِّلَاحٍ عِنْدَ الْفِتْنَةِ مَلْعُونَ. The one who sells armaments during conflict, periods of conflict, is damned to hell. It's a cursed person. Because it's an evil and odious thing to do that, to sell all.
children cry, looking for their father. The house was destroyed, there was no shelter. They saw that we weren't just silent, left to be hurt, left to be wronged. Our rights are taken away, our voices are silenced. Where is the humanity you promised?
Naive for us to think that the world is filled with good people. There's a lot of bad people in the world. There's a lot of people who are could harm you. And this is why we always got to remember something. It's a beautiful statement. And you'll probably hear me say this many times while you're here. It's very wise and profound. It's attributed to the great Imam Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sagaf. And he said, if you see people being like wolves, don't be a sheep. And if you see people being like sheep, don't be a wolf. So there's a lot of wolves out there. A lot of wolves. A lot of wolves. And all the wolves aren't men. There's a lot of women who are wolves too. There's men who are wolves, and there's women who are wolves. It goes both ways. There's a lot of wolves. It's not just a gender thing here. And then there's a lot of sheep. And so the point here is that you don't want to take advantage of people. You don't want to manipulate people. You don't want to be like a predator. That's horrible. And how we want to be is that we're balanced. Is that we don't let people take advantage of us, whether we're a man or a woman. You don't let people take advantage of you. You got to be wise. You got to learn about people. And life is like this. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes you have to have bad experiences. But that's the goal. In other words, someone metaphorically growls at you. Yeah, they're trying to get over on you. They're trying to take advantage of you. Is that you show your canines as you growl back, metaphorically speaking. In other words, good character is not just letting people walk all over you and being nice all the time. No, good character is doing the right thing at the right time. And sometimes you got to flash your teeth. Like, look, all right, you're going to come at me like that. I'm going to come at you like this. That's not going to go well with me. You got to be firm. Especially in this society. Especially that if you're Muslim. Especially if you have certain, you know, there's just layers there. And then at the same time, but if you see other people being like sheep, don't be a wolf. Be like a sheep. And get along with them. Have good relationships with them.
But I know one day you will realize it's the mercies of God that has kept us alive. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. You've got to focus your eyes on the prize. If you slip, you will fly, and from God you can't hide. We will sing a new song for justice, and we will go through. And if you don't have no love in your heart, then we'll have to depart, because you need love to start to sing a new song for justice, for peace to go through. And although it can bite me down, I get stronger and stronger. I'm always around. I'm rooted and ground for justice. Still I go through.
Yes, indeed, listeners. God Almighty, glorified be Him. The Most High concludes the Surah Al-Imran chapter 3, which we focused on earlier in the program, from verses 196 to 200. God concludes in verse 200 with a powerful and comprehensive command. O ye who believe, be patient, outdo others in patience. Remain steadfast and be mindful of God so that you may succeed. This single verse gathers within it a roadmap for resilience, dignity, and success. At its heart lies one central quality, sabr. And what is sabr? We often translate it simply as patience. Yet the Quran presents it as something far deeper. Sabr is not passive waiting. It is active endurance. It is the strength to remain firm upon what is right, even when it is difficult. God says in the Quran, O ye who believe, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, God is with the patient. In chapter 2, verse 153. Notice this carefully. God does not say He rewards the patient later. He says, He is with them now. This companionship of God is what transformed patience from burden into strength. Dear listeners, the scholars explain that sabr appears in three essential forms. First, patience in obedience, to remain consistent in prayer, charity, honesty, and discipline, especially when it feels heavy. God says, and enjoin prayer upon your family and be steadfast in it. Chapter 20, verse 132 of the Quran. Second, patience in avoiding sin. Because not every test comes as hardship. Some come as opportunity. The opportunity to compromise, to take shortcuts, to justify what we know is wrong. Here, sabr or patience is restraint. God describes the people of righteousness and those who restrain their anger and pardon others. Chapter 3, verse 134. Third, patience in enduring hardship, loss, grief, uncertainty. these are part of the human condition. God reminds us, and we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth, lives and fruits. But give glad tidings to the patient. Chapter 2, verse 155. And who are these patient ones? Those who, when calamity strikes them, say, indeed we belong to God and to Him we return, in as is mentioned in Quran chapter 2, verse 156. This is not just a statement of faith. It is a reorientation of the heart. Dear listeners, when is sabr required? The Quran teaches us at all times, but especially in moments of pressure. In hardship, patience protects us from despair. In temptation, it protects us from falling into sin. And in the face of injustice, patience protects us from losing our moral compass. And here we must be clear, patience is not silence in the face of oppression. God commands justice when He says in chapter 4, verse 135, O you who believe, stand firmly for justice as witnesses for God. So patience does not mean accepting wrongdoing. It means resisting it without becoming unjust yourself. It is disciplined resistance. It is principled endurance. This is why the verse continues, outdo others in patience. Meaning if falsehood is persistent, truth must be more persistent. If injustice is entrenched, justice must be more steadfast. Then God says, remain steadfast, remain anchored, do not drift, do not lose clarity, and finally, be mindful of God, because patience without God consciousness can become empty endurance. But with God consciousness, every moment of patience becomes an act of worship. Dear listeners, how do we develop patience? First, through perspective. God reminds us in chapter 94, verse 5 and 6, indeed with hardship comes ease. Indeed with hardship comes ease. Not after hardship, with it. Meaning within every difficulty, there are openings, lessons, and unseen mercy. Second, through practice. Patience is built in small moments, holding your tongue when you are angry, choosing honesty when dishonesty is easier, continuing good even when results are not immediate. God says in chapter 11, verse 115, and be patient, for indeed God does not allow the reward of those who do good to be lost. Third, through remembrance of God. Verily in the remembrance of God do hearts find rest. Chapter 13, verse 28. Remembrance calms the storm within. It creates space between impulse and action. Fourth, through learning from the prophets. Consider the patience of Ayub, who endured prolonged illness but never lost faith. God says of him in chapter 38, verse 44 of the Quran, indeed, we found him patient. What an excellent servant. Indeed, he was constantly turning back to God. And reflect on the steadfastness of Muhammad, peace and blessings of God be with him, who was told in chapter 46, verse 35, so be patient as those of determination among the messengers were patient. Their stories teach us that patience is not the absence of pain. It is the presence of faith through pain. Finally, through community, God commands, and cooperate in righteousness and piety. Chapter 5, verse 2. Patience becomes stronger when it is shared. Dear listeners, the verse concludes with a promise, so that you may be successful. Success in the Quran sense, in the Quranic sense, is not immediate victory. It is not dominance. It is not visibility. It is something deeper. It is to remain upright when it is difficult, to remain truthful when it is costly, to remain patient when the road is long. God tells us clearly, indeed, the patient will be given their reward without measure. Chapter 39, verse 10. Without measure, no limits, no calculation. So when you feel overwhelmed, when results seem distant, when the world feels heavy, remember, patient is not standing still. It is moving forward without losing your integrity. May God grant us patience that strengthens us, patience that purifies us, patience that leads us to success in this life and the next.
Here we are.
Sabali, Sabali. Sabali is a Bambara language word used in Mali, West Africa, that means patience, calm, or forbearance. It is widely known in culture to signify the ability to remain steadfast, perseverant, and peaceful during difficult times. Listeners, thank you very much for tuning in, and until next week, I leave you with the words of Muhyiddin Chisti, as it's read by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, his final words. Until next week, inshallah, peace out.
One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Muhyiddin Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Muhyiddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, "Love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth, be a beauteous blossom of love, and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance. Dissolve the clouds of discord and war, and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment." Alhamdulillah.
You are listening to WTOR 770 AM, Youngstown, Toronto.
अपने प्यारों को पैसे भेजें लैम्पफाई के साथ अब आसानी और एतमाद के साथ बेहतरीन रेट्स और मुकम्मल सिक्योरिटी के साथ आज ही ट्रांसफर करें लैम्पफाई LEMFI साइन अप करते वक्त रेफर कोड E10 का इस्तेमाल करें और अपनी पहली ट्रांजैक्शन पर 100 या उससे ज्यादा भेजने पर $20 कैशबैक हासिल करें और बस यही नहीं अपने दोस्तों और फैमिली को भी रेफर करें और हर रेफर पर आप दोनों पाएंगे $20 तो आज ही विजिट करिए lamfi.com LEMFI.com
ट्रक ड्राइवर भाइयों अब यूएस और कनाडा में अनलिमिटेड डाटा वीवो टेलीकम्युनिकेशंस के साथ फुल स्पीड नो रुकावट सफर बिजनेस का हो या शौक का वर्ल्ड वाइड ई सिम डाटा प्लान के साथ इंटरनेट हमेशा रेडी ट्रैवल कर रहे हो इंडिया पाकिस्तान या हज या उमरे के लिए वीवो टेल के साथ हमेशा रहो ऑनलाइन दूर दराज इलाका कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं घर हो या केबिन वीवो टेल की हाई स्पीड इंटरनेट चलती है दुनिया के किसी भी कोने में विजिट करें vivotel.com या कॉल करें 416-243-9836 416-243-9836 कनेक्शन आपका दुनिया के साथ
टेली टाइम इलेक्ट्रॉनिक्स LEDs और होम अप्लायंसेस की हॉटेस्ट और ब्रांडेड रेंज के साथ 0% फाइनेंस गारंटी और लोएस्ट प्राइसेस और फ्री डिलीवरी इन GTA तो इंतजार कैसा अभी विजिट करें टेली टाइम ब्रैम्पटन 280 रदरफोर्ड रोड या स्प्रिंगडेल स्क्वायर शॉपिंग सेंटर या इटोबिको 1770 एल्बियन रोड या 9909 मार्कम रोड مزید تفصیلات کے لیے کال کریں 905-455-1666 ٹیلی ٹائم الیکٹرونکس
ہو سیٹ محل تے ساتھ دیارو دنیا ہوئی دیوانی ہو شد کھوئے دی جے مٹھے آئی رج رج کے دوسری کھانی نون ویج تے ویج فوڈ دا ساد بڑا طوفانی ساٹے سویٹ محل دا لبنا نی کوئی پسانی
Yes, Sweet Mahal, jithe mildiyan ne authentic, tasty, flavored, te unique dishes from the top chefs. So, aaj hi visit karo sweetmahal.ca te. Vadhere jankari de layi tusi sampark kar sakde ho Sukha Chand ji nu 416-609-9991 te 416-679-9191.
सब तो पुराना सोडी फर्नीचर हर घर की पहचान बन चुके हैं।
ओ फिर बने भी क्यों ना, क्योंकि बेडरूम सेट, सोफा सेट, मैट्रेसेस, डाइनिंग टेबल, डेकोरेटिव आइटम्स, गल कीजिए सारे घर का फर्नीचर बढ़िया क्वालिटी डिस्काउंटेड प्राइस से मिल जाता सोडी फर्नीचर तो 3 साल ले नो ब्याज।
142 कैनेडी रोड, ब्रैम्पटन, 9058747171।